Hey, early risers, how you guys doing? Thank you for getting up early this morning to worship with us. I want to welcome those of you who are online as well. Hey, maybe you're here for the first or second time. You don't know who I am. Let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm going to be teaching this morning. We're going to begin in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 1. Very important verse. Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 18. So if you have a Bible or you have the app, go ahead and open it up to Isaiah 1, verse 18. Before we get into that, though, I think we need to give it up for those who are just water baptized. Congratulations. I think we have 47 people that are going to be water baptized this weekend through all three of our weekend services. And such an important step in your spiritual life to be water baptized after you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And, you know, maybe you're online, maybe you're here in the room, but for whatever reason, you're a follower of Jesus, but for whatever reason, you've never been water baptized since you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's the case, then that's an important step that you need to take. We do these baptisms about every 5 or 6 weeks. So we're going to have another one 5 weekends from this weekend, September 17th and 18th. You say, well, how do I get water baptized? You just need to take our water baptism class. It's online. You can take it whenever you would like. Once you've taken the class, we want you to understand what the Bible says about water baptism. That's why we have the class. Once you take the class, then you can sign up to be water baptized at any one of our three services the weekend of September 17th and 18th. Hopefully, we'll be celebrating your water baptism in 5 weekends from this weekend. Well, you know, as a general rule, whenever there's some area of life where we want to know how we're doing in that particular area, there are certain tools or resources or instruments that we can use that will tell us how we're doing in that area. For example, when you want to know the truth about your face, what do? You look in a mirror. Every line, every wrinkle, every gray hair, every missing hair, every blemish, it all shows up on the mirror, doesn't it? Now, when you're a guy and you get up in the morning and first thing you look in the mirror, it's a very sobering thing. It really is. Now, when you're a woman, oftentimes women use certain products to sort of upgrade their face. You know, sometimes women use things with weird, interesting names like concealer. That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? What are you concealing, you know, in your face? But when you get up and look in the mirror as a guy, it's really sobering because you know this is as good as it's going to get all day long. This is it. And you know what's really depressing? You know that next year it's going to be even worse than it is right now. So when you want to know the truth about your face, you look in a mirror. When you want to know the truth about your weight, you get on a scale, right? Now, I know a lot of people try to finesse things before they actually step on the scale. Some of us take our shoes off. Some of us take all of our clothes off. Some of you take off all of your jewelry. Some of you take out your contact lenses. Some of you exhale before you'll actually step on the scale. But you need to know there are ways that you can find out more information about your body than just getting on a scale. In fact, one author tells of a time when he was held underwater to determine the precise fat content of his body. He said that it just about killed him. It was super expensive. And so when he was done, he wrote this. He said, "If you insist on knowing the fat content of your body, I've developed a method that will not cost you a penny. Next time you get out of the shower, grab a stopwatch and stand in front of a full-length mirror, totally naked. Start the stopwatch and stamp your foot on the floor as hard as you can. When stuff stops moving, punch the stopwatch, and check the time. He said, I'm down to 2 days, 3 hours, and 6 minutes. So if you want to know the truth about your body, now you know how to do it, right? But we get statements in the mail or online all the time giving us information about ourselves. We get a bank statement that tells us how we're doing financially. We get report cards to assess our kids' academic standing. We get performance evaluations at work because we want to know, well, how am I doing at work? What I'm saying is this. If an area of life is important to us, we usually want to know, well, how am I doing in that area? Now, here's the reason I'm raising this today. When it comes to the single most important aspect of your life, which is, where do I stand spiritually when my life is over? Where do I stand spiritually? How will I be evaluated by a just and holy God? When it comes to that issue, all of a sudden, a lot of people are really fuzzy about how they're doing spiritually. You know, maybe that's you. Again, most people are amazingly rigorous in wanting to know things like, how am I doing financially? How am I doing vocationally? How am I doing in my physical life? All that. But when you ask them about what matters most, hey, how do things really stand between you and God? A lot of people just sort of shrug their shoulders and say, well, I don't really know. I guess it's okay. Well, how do you know? What are you trusting in to give you accurate information about this? I mean, most people in our society tolerate a level of fogginess in the spiritual area of their life that they would never tolerate in almost any other area. And if you're doing that, I want you to know that is not a good idea. So what I want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about what the writers of Scripture actually have to say about this topic. And this is going to be a very, very important message. And I have one goal today, just one goal. My goal is that when this service is over in a little while, every one of you, whether you're online or in person, you will be crystal clear on what the Bible says about how a human being can know that he or she is right with God. You can know it. And then toward the end of this message, after I've explained as simply as I know how what the Bible actually says about being right with God, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. And I want you to know right up front, for some of you, this is your day. This is your day. Today, some of you are going to make the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. So what does the Bible say? Well, first of all, the Bible says that God created all human beings. He created all of us. And the Bible says that God created us in His image. And that's a very good thing, because that means God is delighted that you exist. He's the one who thought you up. But, the Bible says, we all have a problem. We've all given in to temptation. We're all what the Bible calls fallen. Say that word out loud. Fallen. And one of the images that the Bible uses to talk about our fallenness is the image of a stain. Something that's marred. Something that's not right. I had to turn to Isaiah 1 verse 18. God says this, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, in other words, they've stained you, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. So the Bible says that we're all stained. We're born that way. You know, have you ever been out to dinner with someone or lunch with someone, and you know, maybe you went to a barbecue joint or something, and And maybe it was a person that you really wanted to impress. You know, maybe it's like a first date or, you know, maybe a job interview or something. And you're at this barbecue place and you have this white shirt on and all of a sudden you spill a big glob of barbecue sauce on your white shirt. What's your first inclination when that happens? You want to do stain management, right? You want to cover it up. You want to put a napkin over it or something. But there really isn't anything you can do, at least until you get home and you're able to wash your shirt. Well, the Bible says that all of us have stains. But unfortunately, they're not just on our clothes. They're on our soul. They're on our character. And the Bible also says that one of our biggest problems is that we tend to underestimate the stain factor in our lives. We tend to look at that much more lightly than we should. And interestingly enough, in some ways, contemporary social science is actually confirming this. In social psychology, there's a dynamic called the fundamental attribution error. The fundamental attribution error. And the way that it works is like this. I tend to explain other people's bad behavior in terms of their character flaws. That's why they're behaving badly. They have character flaws. But I tend to explain my own bad behavior in terms of extenuating circumstances. It's not character flaws, it's extenuating circumstances. So, for example, when I see someone yelling at their kids, I just assume it's because they can't control their temper. Bad character. But when I find myself yelling at my kids, I assume it's because my kids are behaving so badly that even Mr. Rogers would yell at them if he were trying to parent them. And I end up seriously underestimating the extent to which I'm stained. Fundamental attribution error. We all do it. Now, the Bible says that this stain factor, this sin factor, is actually operating in us all the time. And this sin factor is the thing that makes our world such a mess. Such a mess. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, "For all have sinned." If you're taking notes, underline the word "all." All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That word "sin" there is an archery term. It means to miss the mark. And humanly speaking, the mark is perfection. We've all missed the mark. We've all sinned. We've all said wrong words, thought wrong thoughts, done wrong deeds. We've done that, all of us. And I want you to know that every time somebody sins, every time somebody cheats on a test, every time somebody tells a lie, every time somebody steals a pen from work, every time somebody thinks an ungodly thought, the stain spreads a little bit more. Every act of jealousy about someone who has more than I have, or closing my eyes towards somebody who has much less than I have, that spreads the stain. Every racist thought, every piece of selfish behavior, every hurtful word, every episode of mismanaged anger, every greedy motive, every sexual misdeed, every refusal of servanthood. All of this keeps adding to a massive stain. And it goes on in every life, all the time. Now, I'm a pastor. And it took me about 30 seconds to come up with that list. Do you know why? Because Pastor Keith and Pastor James have done all of those things multiple times. So it was very easy. No, I'm kidding. Well, I don't know, they may have, but I'm kidding about that. The truth is, I'm very stained too, and so are you. We all are. It's a universal deal. The Apostle Paul said it like this to the Romans. He said, see if you can relate to this. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. You ever feel that way? I think we all do from time to time, don't we? It's because we're all stained. But the Bible says, thankfully, God is unstained. God is unstained. God is perfectly holy, and he's completely pure. So one of the things that means is that there's a gap between me and God. There's a gap. And so the big question is, how does that gap between me and God get bridged? In other words, how do things become okay with God when he's holy and unstained and pure, and yet I'm stained? Well, when it comes to this issue, most people in our society think that it's their job to do like stain management. People think, well, you know, if I just do enough good deeds, then those good deeds will outweigh the bad deeds that I do in God's eyes, and that will sort of bridge that gap. People think, well, if I just go to church enough, or just give enough money to the church, or do enough good deeds, or get involved in some charities, or do some self-improvement exercises, maybe that will be enough to satisfy God, and that gap between me and God will be bridged. Maybe that's the way you think. Well, one of the problems with that kind of thinking is, how will you ever know if what you've done is enough? Have you given enough money to the church? Have you done enough good deeds? Have you gotten involved with enough charities? I mean, how do you know? See, nobody wants a world that's just 51% right. No, we want a world that's 100% right, don't we? We want a world where there's no more wars, there's no racism, there's no hate, there's no ghettos, there's no poor people, none of that. We want a world that's just filled with love. And the Bible says that's God's standard. See, God's standard for human beings is not that we live in 49% deceit, manipulation, racism, greed, selfishness, all that, and then the other 51% of us is good. That's not God's standard. God's standard is 100% total, unmixed, shining purity. And deep down, that's really what we want too. But the problem is, we can't pull it off. And so this leaves us in a very serious situation. Now, it seems like most people that I talk to about God are hoping that at the end of their life, God sort of grades on the curve. You know what I mean? I mean, most people realize there needs to be justice in the universe sooner or later, but they're hoping that God sort of grades on a pass-fail system. And fail ought to be at least a little bit lower than whatever they think their particular score might be. People hope that when judgment day comes, that they'll be standing in line to see God behind some really stained person. So they'll look good in comparison to them, right? They hope they're in line behind Hitler or Osama bin Laden or Vladimir Putin or somebody, because that way they'll come out looking really good. But what if they're not? What if you're standing in line and you're in line behind Mother Teresa? And you hear God say to Mother Teresa, "Mother Teresa, I'm so sorry. If you would have just done a few more good deeds, then I could have let you into heaven. Next." I want you to know the Bible is very, very clear on this issue. I have a problem. I'm stained. And I can't make my stain go away. I can never live up to God's standard. and neither can you. In fact, God said it like this to the prophet Jeremiah. He said, no amount of soap or lye can make you clean. I still see the stain of your guilt. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. Stain management does not work. So God, out of his infinite love, made another way. And it's not the stain management way. It's not the earning way. It's the grace way. And this is really what's at the heart of the Christian faith. See, the Bible says that God's Son, Jesus Christ, left the glory of heaven about 2,000 years ago, and he came to earth, and he became a real person, just like you, just like me. And he was tempted, just like you and I are tempted. But Jesus never gave in to temptation. Jesus never sinned. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And then, at about 33 years of age, Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. And in a way, what Jesus was saying on the cross is, I'm going to take your stain upon me. I'm going to take on your guilt, the burden of your sin, all of that, and I'm going to exchange all of that with you and give you the gift of forgiveness and the gift of freedom and the gift of life. All of that, Jesus says, comes from me. See, Jesus died on the cross in my place and in your place. And you might be thinking, well, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Because the Bible says there's a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for sin. That's what sin leads to. It always leads to death, spiritual death and physical death. So Jesus died on the cross so you wouldn't have to. Jesus paid the debt to God that we could never pay in order that we could be cleansed of our sin. And by the way, that is the greatest news in the whole world. I can be clean and unstained in God's eyes. You know, the stain management deal, the Bible says, will never work. It will never work. I'll never be able to do enough good deeds to bridge that gap between me and God in a million years, and neither will you. But the good news is that we don't have to. I can just accept life and grace and forgiveness from God as a free gift. But I have to be willing to humble myself, confess my sins to God, and ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord, the leader of my life, and begin to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of my life. That's what it takes. That's the grace way. Let me ask you, have you ever fully surrendered your life, no holds barred, everything all in? Have you ever done that with Jesus? Because that's what it takes. You know, this whole grace thing, it gets even better. There's another thing that Jesus offers. He doesn't just offer to forgive our sin, but Jesus also wants to be our friend. He wants to be our friend. Jesus said it like this in John 15. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And then he said in verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. You know, in the heart of every human being, all of us, is a longing for a friend that no other human being can ever fully satisfy. Never. See, friends, human friends, they always end up going their separate ways. They die. They move away. They fall out of friendship. They disappoint you. So why would God give us this incredible longing for a friend if there's no way to ultimately satisfy that longing? Well, the Bible says God doesn't do that. See, the Bible says that God doesn't just have a stain removal plan, but God also has a friend providing plan too. Jesus is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. In fact, the Bible says, in the person of Jesus, God is saying to you and me, I would like to be your friend all the time. I'd like to be with you first thing in the morning, and I'd like to be with you last thing when you go to sleep at night. I'd like to give you comfort when you're sad. I'd like to give you hope when you're discouraged. I'd like to guide you when you're confused. I'd like to give you courage when you're scared. I'd like for you and me together to change your world just a little bit. I'd like for you to be part of my mission to redeem this sorry old earth. I'll be with you when you're on your sick bed. I'll be with you when you're on your deathbed. I'll be with you on the other side of eternity. And I will never stop loving you. No matter how badly you blow it, I'll never give up on you. Even when you give up on yourself, I will be your friend, and there's nothing you can do to earn this. It's just part of the gift. See, that's at the heart of the Christian faith, that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived like one of us, to teach us to die in our place, to be raised from the dead, so that we could receive the gift from God that he has for us. Christianity is not about trying to earn God's approval. It's not about going to church more often or giving more money to the church or any of that. Christianity is about grace. God's grace to us. A free gift. So now I hope you understand about the offer of our stain-removing, sin-forgiving, friend-providing God. That is our God. And I realize this is not difficult to understand. Not difficult at all. A child can understand this. But eventually, you have to respond to this. Eventually, you have to decide. And no one can do that for you. So if you've never declared yourself to be sort of with God before, and you understand what I've just been talking about, the good news of Jesus, you know, this free gift of forgiveness and friendship with Jesus that's offered to you, I want to give you a chance to make that decision right now. I want to give you a chance to receive from God the free gift of salvation so you can know how things stand between you and God. You don't have to be fuzzy about this anymore. You can know. Would you bow your head with me in prayer for a moment? I'm going to ask you, whether you're online or in person, if you would, to close your eyes. There's nothing spiritual even or magical about closing your eyes, but it helps block out distractions. And this is a holy moment. God's presence is here. God is speaking to many of you, whether you're in a living room, a bedroom, whether you're in this room, whether you're in the lobby. Many of you, God is speaking to you. And maybe you're here and you're thinking, you know, Brian, I don't know if I've ever really declared myself to be with God before. I don't know if I've ever really gone all in this thing of following Jesus, but I want to do that. I want to be able to know how things stand spiritually between me and God. You might be thinking, well, how do I start this journey? Well, you can start it right now through a prayer of surrender. You surrender your life completely to Jesus Christ. Nothing held back. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to declare yourself today to be with God, you want this stain-removing, friend-providing plan through Jesus that God gives us, then you can pray this prayer after me. You don't have to pray it out loud. God can read your thoughts. But the best you know how, you need to pray it to God and you need to really, really mean it. So if that's what you want to do, I'm going to pray this prayer right now. You can just repeat in your heart to God. Just say something to God like, God, I know that I've done wrong things. I've sinned. And I realize right now that I need forgiveness. And the only way I can be forgiven is through you. And so right now, God, to the best that I understand, I want to surrender my life 100% to you. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me for all of my sins that I've ever committed. And I want to begin to follow you from this moment on. Jesus, I'm all in. And then just pray this. Just pray, come, Holy Spirit. Cleanse me. Fill me. I want to follow Jesus. You know, if you prayed that prayer, whether you're online or in person, and you really meant it, it happened. It happened because the Bible says it happened. You may have felt something, you may not have. Feelings are fickle. Some of us are more, you know, feelings oriented than others. So feeling something or not doesn't really matter, but it happened. And now Jesus wants you to begin to follow him 100%. And that's part of where the vineyard comes in. You know, every weekend we teach you from the Bible how to follow Jesus better. I'm starting a brand new series, Living a Jesus Kind of Life, next weekend. Man, if you begin to follow Jesus, church isn't just this thing that you do when it works out. It becomes part of your lifestyle. So for some of you, you need to make that a new commitment in your life. But you know, one of the things that Jesus challenges us with when we begin to follow him, he says to us, I want you to go public about this. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 10, everyone who confesses me in front of other people, I will confess them before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me in front of other people, acts like we don't really have a relationship, then I'll deny them before my Father who's in heaven. You know, that's part of what water baptism is about. It's a way of publicly declaring to the world, to your church family, all that, that you're now with God, you're going to follow Jesus. But whenever I give an opportunity for people to receive Jesus, like I did just a moment ago, I always challenge people to go public right away. And the reason I do that is because I know, I've been a pastor a long time, I know that unless somebody goes public about making that commitment to Jesus right away, it doesn't really take inside of them. And they end up, you know, wandering away so much, so easily. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to give you an opportunity to go public right now. In a moment, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to do something really brave, really courageous. I'm going to ask you to stand up in a moment and let everybody in this room know that this is what you've decided. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm all in, and I'm not ashamed of that. Now I know, if you prayed that prayer and now I'm asking you in a moment to stand up, you're probably freaking out. Big room, scary, all that. So let me try to appease some of the thoughts you might have. Some of you might be thinking, well, Brian, what if I'm the only one who stands up? Well, you probably won't be. But even if you are, remember I told you, you had to really mean this. And if you really meant it, then are you embarrassed to say to others that you want to begin to follow God? There's no reason for embarrassment. And in a moment when I ask people to stand, a large portion of us won't stand. And the reason we won't is because we've already done something like this. We're already followers of Jesus, and we love it when God adds more people to his family. So we're already on your side. You don't have to be worried about us at all. We're behind you 100%. So if you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you're saying, you know, I want to declare publicly that today and from this day on, I'm going to begin to follow Jesus. Right now, I want you to stand up wherever you are. Right now, wherever you are, stand up. Stand up, remain standing. Remain standing. Stand up, come on. Come on, stand up. If you prayed that prayer right now, if you're in the balcony, stand up. You prayed that prayer. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you guys. Remain standing, come on. If you prayed that prayer, I'm not ashamed, I'm not ashamed, I'm not ashamed. I'm declaring myself to be with God. God bless you guys. God bless you. Now maybe you're here and you prayed that prayer. Remain standing. You prayed that prayer, but you're sort of embarrassed. You're just like a little scared. I don't know. Hey, you guys just stood up. Stand back up. I know it's weird. Stand back up because I'm going to ask you to do something else in a minute, all right? So anyway, some of you are here and you're like, man, I prayed that prayer, but I'm a little embarrassed and all that. If you're here with a friend or a loved one right now, would you just grab their hand? You don't have to say anything. Just grab their hand, and that will signal to them that you prayed that prayer, and you're saying to them, would you stand up with me for moral support right now? Would you stand up with me right now? Right now. God bless. Stand up. Come on. Grab your friend's hand. Grab your loved one's hand right now. Stand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Right now. Pop to your feet. Pop to your feet. God bless you guys. Pop to your feet right now. If you prayed that prayer, you're saying, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm going to go public. I'm going to go public. Now, you can keep standing. If there are others, keep standing. But I'm going to ask those of you that stood, I want to say a special prayer for you. And then I want some of our leaders, our small group members, our small group leaders, our ministry team members, I want them to pray for you as well. And we want to get some information about you because we want to follow up with you. So what I'm going to ask you to do now is get out from wherever you're seated. People will let you by. And I want you to come down here to the front and stand right in front of me. I want to look you in the eyes and I want to pray a special prayer. So right now, just come on. Come on. If you're up in the balcony, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come down to the front. Come down to the front. God bless you. God bless you guys. Your loved one can come with you. Bring your loved one with you. That's fine. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just look my way. Look my way. Look my way. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Keep coming, keep coming. Pop to your feet. Even if you didn't get up earlier, pop to your feet. Keep coming. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm going to begin to follow Jesus from this moment on. That's what you're saying. Come on, come on. I'm all in, 100%. God bless you guys. Come on, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. If you're up in the balcony, keep coming. Come on, come on, come on, come on. More people coming. Come on, let's go. Come on, come on, come on. God bless you guys. Keep coming. Now you can keep coming while I'm talking, but I want to talk to those of you who are down here in the front. So everybody look at me just for a moment. First of all, I want you to know this is the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. Because this not only affects the rest of your life here on earth, this affects your eternity. It really does. It affects your eternity. The Bible talks about being translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light by following Jesus. You are securing your eternity by saying, I'm going to follow Jesus from this moment on. I'm all in. Now, one of the things that's really important for every one of you that made this decision is now you need to go public by being water baptized. And we're going to have another water baptism in 5 weeks. And so every one of you that said yes to Jesus, you need to go online, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, and you need to watch the class, and then sign up to be water baptized any one of the 3 weekend services, the weekend of September 17th and 18th. And you were here this morning, you saw, it's a great celebration. We want to be celebrating your water baptism in 5 weeks, and we want you to invite all of your friends, all of your coworkers, all of your neighbors. We want them to come and see you be water baptized. Now, I'm going to pray a prayer. And then we're going to have some leaders. In fact, if the leaders, small group leaders, ministry team members, even if you're not assigned officially to this service, we need a lot of you. There's a lot of people up here. So we need a lot of you to come up right now and begin to surround them. We're going to get somebody with you, and they're going to maybe pray for you. They might have a prophetic word that they believe is from God for you. And then when they're done praying or prophesying or whatever, they're going to sit down with you and get your information so that we can follow up with you. Because we want to send you some stuff in the mail. We want to do a lot of stuff to follow up with you to help you continue on what Jesus calls the narrow path that you've decided to walk on today, okay? Now, those of you that are seated, if you would agree with me in prayer, and by the way, those of you online, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, you need to go public as well. And the way you can go public online, put it in the chat. I prayed that prayer. And then one of our team members will get with you right away, okay? They'll get with you right away and follow up with you as well. So those of you that are seated, would you agree with me in prayer for all our friends up here? And you guys just receive what the Lord has for you. God, we are so grateful for each and every one of these people. You know everything about their lives, God. And no matter what the circumstances are surrounding how they came today, the truth is, Holy Spirit, you brought them because you love them. And you wanted to have a relationship with them through what Jesus has done on the cross. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would fill them right now. Fill them with your presence. Fill them with your power. Fill them with your spiritual gifts. I pray, Lord, that you would begin to use them right away to bring glory to you, Lord, to tell others about you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bring the right people around them, help them go to the right small group where they're going to be discipled, where they're going to be able to grow, all of that, God. I pray that you'd just do some miraculous things in their lives as they begin to follow you in this thing called Christianity. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, those of you that are around them, would you just begin interviewing them? Now, nobody leave until a leader has talked to you. All right? Nobody leave. Again, those of you online, make sure you put in the chat, I prayed that prayer. Hey, before you guys go, I want to pray a blessing over you. All right? And don't forget, next weekend, starting a brand new series, Living a Jesus Kind of Life. You're not going to want to miss it. I want to pray a blessing. If everyone would stand. Lord, thank you for all my friends, whether they're online or in person. Bless each one as they go, God. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to a bunch of people on your way out. God bless you. Have a great day. My new story starts. Take my life.